Good evening, lovelies. Welcome to another episode of Coffee, Candy, and Creatives. My creative tonight is writer and director Samuel K. Forrest. His latest project, Hip Beat, Love is a Revolution, chronicles the story of Angus or Angie and the Berlin protest scene as well as the Berlin party and rave scene. It's impactful, it's entertaining, it's truthful, and it's available on all streaming platforms now, including Amazon. Tonight's episode is brought to you by Be Unique Brevard, the Space Coast premier magazine. It is free for reading, and you can get it at beunique.org. So grab a cup of coffee or your favorite beverage, cuddle up with your host Puff, and enjoy the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'm good. Good. It's love. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my God. No. Thank you for being here.
Yes, of course. Of course. How's your day going?
It's been a Monday. It really has.
Yeah. I was up at 4:30 in the morning shooting some stuff. So it's been a long day. But now I'm just winding down and chatting with you now. So it's been a lovely day.
And where are you at?
I'm in Rio in Brazil at the moment.
Oh, wow.
Yes, yes. So the other side of the world.
Yeah, really. Really. Yeah. Well, where are you from originally for people that Samuel?
Yeah, so I was born in Europe in Amsterdam, and then between Rotterdam and Amsterdam. And then when I was two, I moved to the UK and then to Canada and then California and back between California and the UK and London most of my life. So a bit of a gypsy, I guess you could say, where I kind of just kept moving around with my parents. And then for work, I kind of naturally would go between Europe and the US.
Right. Well, with a nomadic upbringing like that, you're kind of destined to travel.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm more comfortable when I'm moving around, you know. And right. So just so used to it. And when you're a kid, it's quite difficult because you're making new friends. But when you get older, it's a blessing. I'm very grateful for it in retrospect. So a bit of all over, mostly just Europe, Canada, and the US. Just moved around a lot. And then the base is in Berlin at the moment in Los Angeles. So I go back and forth. So I'll be in Europe in January, February, March, and then back to LA in end of March.
Yeah, just be in Europe just in time for being cold and then coming back to LA.
Yeah, I'm trying to limit the time I'm in Europe at the moment as small as possible, but I have work there and stuff I need to do. I have a festival in France at the end of January, and then I have to finish post-production of another film I did this year. So just kind of there for work, gonna, you know, get as much done as I can and then head over to LA.
Well, how blessed that you're still working with the pandemic.
Yes. It's been, and I'm so grateful for it because I know how hard it is for so many people, and it's not one person that's been affected. You know, we've been kind of keeping projects quite small and kind of safe, and so far no one's gotten sick or nothing, no hiccups. But yeah, there is like a sense of anxiety and a sense of uncertainty in the safe way forward and everything when you're approaching it, but kind of been able to shoot two projects this year, which I'm really blessed about. And glad to keep creating because I know how hard it is for so many people and how unpredictable life is at the moment.
Absolutely. And what a fresh perspective you have. You're seeing the different countries and how it's affecting people there.
Yeah, definitely. You see the patterns of the good things and you try to like be inspired by different cultures and different countries and then also learn what the differences of the good and the bad are, you know, and you can sometimes can give you a perspective of the patterns of trends that are like, you know, sometimes like a positive thing that countries can share and sometimes things that you maybe want to learn from and not repeat or things that maybe, you know, that are, you know, or are misleading or, you know, not necessarily, you know, the best intentions.
Right. And you can see who's perhaps better behaved.
Yeah, no, but there's always something good you can learn from somewhere, you know, and so you try to combine them and take the, you know, and learn from all of it. And so definitely it's now that I'm older in retrospect, it's been a blessing. And I definitely have been able to absorb a lot of interesting things. And getting educated in the UK and Canada and the US, it definitely, you learn three different histories, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
And so where are you based at the moment?
We're in Florida. Birmingham is someplace I've always wanted to go for a multitude of reasons, not for what just people think, but the concept of it's a city on water. Yeah.
What, Hip Beat?
Amsterdam.
You mean Berlin? Oh, Amsterdam. Oh, no. Yeah. Yeah. But Amsterdam is So Rotterdam is one of the bigger ports, so it's near the water and it's kind of under sea level. So it's a very low country actually. And Amsterdam is completely filled by canals. So everything is like circular. So there's the center of the city, and then you go around more and more, and then it just completely is filled with canals all the way through the edge of the city. So the architecture was built that way, really for trade and being able to access different rivers throughout the Netherlands and kind of then head out to the sea. So yeah, it is, and it's under sea level. So if there was ever to be rising sea levels, the Netherlands is actually doing a lot of technology and a lot of research into how to make it sustainable, because they'd be one of the first countries to go in Europe.
Right. God forbid a
Yeah,
tsunami.
exactly. So and so yeah, it's definitely an interesting place where it's very low, not a lot of hills, and so it's an interesting situated place. Yeah, it's a lot of canals, and so it's very beautiful and majestic, and it does feel like you're going back in time sometimes, but you'll definitely have to go. Hopefully, right now they're in a lockdown, but maybe by spring or summer next year, or in a couple of years when it's a little safer and stuff. The summertime tends to be the best time to travel.
Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, and the good thing is once you're there, it's easy to get everywhere else, so it's not that hard. So.
I know a lot of flights, they lay over in Amsterdam. It's like, okay.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's a good place. It's kind of one of the main hubs you go through. So usually when I have to fly to a different part of the world or go back to LA, I go through Amsterdam and then to LA.
That's
But yeah,
awesome.
it's a cool place, a multicultural city, a lot of legalized things there, which makes for an interesting nightlife, and yeah, it's definitely a beautiful city to visit, and definitely just put it at the top of the list when things are much safer.
Oh,
Right
absolutely.
now, Dutch people aren't very happy because they're in lockdown. And so they can't do anything again. So they've kind of gone back to March or April last year at the moment. So fingers crossed, hopefully everything goes through this and out on the other side. But we shall see.
Absolutely. I mean, the extent of my knowledge of Amsterdam, aside from what you've just told me, comes from Euro
Yeah.
trip. So, do
Oh,
you remember
okay. I
that film?
do. Yeah. I mean, I feel like it was one of those films that would just be on in the background when I was doing something else or something. Yeah, no, it definitely has that traveler and backpack, and a lot of students go there, and it's definitely got a lot of mystery, but also a lot of different things you can do and let loose. But yeah,
So you're
it's definitely a sit. Yeah. There's some truth to it, but it's definitely obviously like a romantic, a comedy, so it's also done up a little. But there's definitely a cool nightlife and a definitely a free spirit in that city, and good food and interesting places you can go. And the great thing about the city is you can walk everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can get lost in the city and just walk around and look at the architecture and the museums. And if you like to smoke, you can smoke a joint and then go walk on. And
Right. And then everything in the museum looks a little better.
yeah, of course, of course. Yeah.
So you're in Rio now filming, but Hip Beat takes place in Berlin, right?
Berlin, yeah, we shot just one sequence in Amsterdam, like a flashback, but most of it's in the Berlin nightlife and the rave scene in and the activist scene in Berlin.
Okay. And this is based on true events, right?
Yeah. So it's based on my siblings' stories, the lead character and my friends, and it's definitely taken a lot from experiences of people I know quite personally, and their journey and their life in Berlin and the people I had met there. Because when I was writing the script and developing the project, it was about 6 months absorbing the world, and so a lot of it was very much inspired by my sibling and their courage and kind of I had never seen a character with the duality of fighting the system and injustice by day, but then going out and raving at night. So go to a protest in the day and then go rave to the morning at nighttime. So I thought that was an interesting character to have those two experiences where there was like the masculine side and then the feminine side would come out at night and then go rave, and the more sensitive side. So I thought that the duality was something I had never seen before portrayed in film. So it was something that inspired me, and it was a very personal story. And thought if I could start a conversation, but also kind of bring awareness to how there are places like Berlin or places where there is that freedom, and since the freedom there's only been really since 1989 when the wall came down, especially since most of those rave clubs and the underground scene in Berlin is located in East Berlin. It was all Stasi, so it was all under the Soviet Union.
Right.
So it hasn't
So,
been that long where it's been that free and the city's been united.
Right. I mean, we're talking 30.
Less than 30 years ago. Yeah. 30 years ago. Yeah. 32.
And either deservedly or undeservedly, Germany is not necessarily known for freedom and
not at all.
Right.
Freedom
of expression, freedom of liberties.
Yes, not at all. But there was a period like pre-World War One and like in between World War One and Two, there was a lot of great free thinkers and, you know, artists and creators. And we had great playwrights and Bertolt Brecht and scientists like Albert Einstein and Freud and stuff in that period. So there was this great way of like thinkers and inventors and creatives. But then of course, in that period before leading up for the 7-8 years before World War II, and then all the way really up to the Stasis, it was always completely a city of that was the opposite of that, you know, and a very dark place. And so it was also through sometimes that there is a sense in Germans to try and rewrite the narrative or try and change the perspective because they know they have this dark history. And so there is a sense of more openness now where a lot of people can kind of push the boundaries of the status quo. But yeah, definitely the city has a lot of, you know, conflict in its past, you know, but now it's kind of changed that. It's the kind of opposite of that now. Obviously, certain parts in Germany aren't, you know, there's still, you know, some of that. That's an old, you know, dark past, but a lot of the younger people are kind of changing that, you know.
Right. Do you think
so,
that,
yeah.
I don't know what the political situation is in Germany or specifically in Berlin. Do you think that if there's a more relaxed or more freedom-like approach to things, it's kind of like a knee-jerk reaction to the perception of basically what that dickhead Hitler.
It was completely. And then also with Stalin and the Stasi, so, you know, in the Soviet Union. So it was definitely an opposite reaction to be the opposite and to kind of like that shame of what that history is, you know, and to try and, to drift as far away from that because they've seen what that is like, you know, right. that going down that route of nationalism. And so it was something where there was definitely a reaction to that. And so it also led to the creation of multiple parties. Like I know in the US you have two parties to choose from, you know, but in Germany you have six. And so usually separate parties will create a coalition and whoever is the majority in the coalition of the six parties will then have like the government and will lead the government. So it's just more choices. It's like, it's not just one or the other, you know.
That would be nice.
Yes, you know, so it's like, you know, so it's six different factions. And so if it's like there's two or three that have the most out of the six factions of the government, they're the ones who create the government for that period of time.
Hmm. I said that's awesome to have.
Yeah, because it's hard to also just choose one or the other. You know, what if there's things you like this or like that? It's always just one or this. And so and that just creates a different scope of it where I think it can not be so polarized in some way. So that definitely kind of was something that kind of grew out of that, you know, and definitely, you know, the younger generation there and kind of, and all the people, I mean, there's so many Americans there and so many British and Australians and people from all walks of life there that kind of are also bringing their experiences and that's kind of combining to, you know, the German culture and kind of rewriting what that is. So, you know, it's definitely a place where you can challenge the status quo, but Berlin's its own kind of a place, you know, it might be in Hamburg, but there's a lot of places in Germany that aren't that free or open still, you know.
Right.
But Berlin's always kind of been a city where people want to kind of, you know, have that freedom to explore who they are, or find themselves or where they are in the world or, you know, experience something different, you know.
Right.
I like to say it's a city of outsiders.
Right, a lot of expats.
Yeah, a lot of people from all different walks of life, you know, that, and so, and it's interesting because the Germans can be great, you know, but what makes really the city is the people who all come from somewhere else, you know.
That little mixing of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ideas and different belief systems, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm, yeah, completely. And then they all partying together, you know.
Right.
And then that's the rave scene, you know.
Right. Did you find in doing the research for this that the political activists are the younger generation, or was it a mismatch of ages, races, cultures, things like
I think it is a mismatch. I mean, every young person, there were mavericks who inspired them to do what they're doing.
Right.
You know, so everything's being inspired by the old other generations. You know, you're just kind of picking up that torch, so to speak, and continuing it on in a way. And so, yeah, there's definitely all ages and people involved in all levels of activism and different things. And everyone can feel some form of injustice to something, you know, no matter what it is, whether it's the environment or social justice and human rights, or, you know, or if it's animal rights, or, you know, if it's, you know, the working class rights. There's so many causes, but that feeling of feeling not heard, I think, is a place that I wanted to explore those themes, you know, and the frustration of maybe what that is. And it's just usually, you know, it can be younger people sometimes, just because they're coming into a world that maybe nothing doesn't hasn't led up to what the situation, you know, what it was told it would turn out to. I mean, at least in my experience, you know, there is a sense of collective trauma, because I've grown up with so many crises, or at least I think people my age, from, you know, 9/11 to wars that maybe we didn't agree to, or to being in wars too long, or to three economic recessions, to global warming, to a global pandemic. It's like every 3 years of, you know, there's some massive world crisis that happens, you know? So there is that frustration where every time you're trying to get your life going, some huge cataclysmic event happens that changes everything, you know?
Right.
So I think there is that frustration and angst, because every time you want to kind of move into, like, you know, finding, you know, your career or doing what you want to do, some drastic thing throws that off, you know, or changes the world in some big way.
Right. I can understand that for sure.
And so that's why, yeah.
Oh,
I didn't mean to cut you off.
And it's human nature to want to blame somebody for it.
Yes, of course, you know, but I do think collective responsibility is important more than, you know, than anything else, you know, and just how do you participate, whether that's through a conversation or just, you know, getting involved more, you know, on the ground, or, you know, creating something, or, you know, and there's a lot of ways to get involved. And I think sometimes we feel like we're not doing enough, or we feel like there's not enough changing. But, you know, if the dialogue is always happening and it's important to listen, then I think we can always make progress in the right way.
Right. And I think sometimes it's the impediment is something as simple as, well, there's not an organization for this, or there's not, you know, there's nothing addressing this. Well, create it yourself.
Yeah, you know, and I'm thinking that if you create a dialogue and a conversation and how you treat people in your life and the people you pass, that then itself is already making a change.
Exactly.
You know, even if you can feel like it's not in a larger scale, like, what can I do? And it can be quite disheartening or discouraging. But if you're treating people how you want to be treated and going out in your life and having those conversations, that can inspire someone, and you never know what it inspires of what they will do, you know?
Right.
And so then, so yeah, so it's, you know, and I think that's where I approach, at least with this story, and at least storytelling is in what I try to do, is to just create a conversation or a dialogue around things and hopefully have people listen to each other, or, you know, and maybe empathize and maybe see something perspective without more asking questions. Like, I hope with Hitbeat, I wanted to raise a lot of questions, mm-hmm. you know, and more than the answers, because I think a lot of times, you know, if you just ask questions, you can find that people at the root of it have the same emotional experiences, mm-hmm. just different ways we may perceive it, you know.
Right.
Or communicate it.
Did you go into this knowing, like, your sibling situation and admiring what they were doing and going through and achieving? And then as you got further into it, you're like finding these other little things and just kind of pulling them in, because it's of trauma, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, definitely that was, you know, something, and you kind of grow with your instincts, and you kind of, through that and through more of the, you know, the absorbing of the world, you start to, you know, get inspired about these other characters, these other experiences, or these other vibes, so to speak, that, you know, that relate to the same thing. And it was more about a character I wanted to feel like, who maybe was misunderstood, or felt like they didn't fit in. And I think that's more relatable, maybe, that maybe not feeling like you could fit in, or that you didn't get along, no matter what it was, if it was whatever, your gender or race or religion or whatever, just feeling like the character was more about feeling misunderstood and trying to find themselves and their place in the world, and, you know, and how it made, you know, and you know, the way that they saw themselves in the world and their self-discovery was more of kind of interesting to me. And the more I experienced that, I felt that everyone involved in the project, or a lot of people I met in that world and that counterculture, was in somewhat different experiences, but had that same emotional journey of dealing with that same thing, of being maybe feeling misunderstood, or like they were suppressed or couldn't explore what they wanted to or felt like they necessarily weren't able to express their voice.
Right.
And so that was something that these characters just naturally, or people you would meet would naturally then build into the story when I was writing it. And then that would develop more from there. And I spent about 6 to 7 months absorbing the world and kind of researching and doing the whole development process of it, you know? And so, yeah, so it's definitely, you know, but it was definitely, hippie was definitely for the ones who maybe feel like they don't always belong or felt misunderstood.
Right. And finding and learning and changing within yourself. And then that change kind of, you want to just project it out. Yourself, then change in your world.
Yeah, there's that, what's that great saying? You change yourself, you change the world, you change the world, you change yourself. Or, you know, it's this idea from within, you know. And so through the experience, I definitely grew. I think in every project, you hope to grow as a person. And you hope the people around you are inspired to do the same. You know, and so that's always the best thing. And the film's kind of a bonus, you know, if everyone can learn and the actors can learn through the process, then that's always a beautiful gift, you know, that everyone's collaborating and everyone has a part in this, you know, we're all riding the ship together and sailing the seas, so to speak.
Right.
And so that's always really lovely, you know, kind of take that with you and just the experience of life itself, you know. So yeah, you know, you're definitely, you know, you're learning and it opens your eyes in many ways, you know, and then you see the things that maybe you can relate to and also, you know, how that emotional trip is the same, you know, and sometimes we just, a lot of noise that distracts us from really kind of just looking at us as kind of people or you know, how that we all can feel love or pain or guilt or anger or, you know, happiness and joy or sadness or regret or, you know, all these different things, you know. And frustration and the disappointment, but also, you know, hope and dreams, you know. And so it was something where I had seen that was with, you know, everyone in the story and the journey. And so, you know, and that comes a lot from all my travels, you know, looking at more as a, just a human experience of the curiosity. And, I, you know, for me, myself, I do have an unquenchable curiosity. So once my curiosity goes, I'm just like a, you know, full steam ahead on the train, so to speak, wherever that is. So yeah, when it's beautiful to collaborate with friends and people that I was inspired by in that personal way, you know, and you feel a responsibility to do it right, for sure. I mean, that goes without question. And it was something that I, you know, you just hope it inspires people the way they inspired you, you know.
So what is the time frame of Hit Beat? It's current day?
Yes, well, so I shot it in 2019. And it's supposed to take place, like, you know, in present day, obviously, you know, not any set day, but the kind of current times.
Right.
Obviously, when we shot it, we did not see the pandemic coming, but we were bringing up things of like, you know, the world in the beginning is like, it seems very bleak in the opening scene, you know. So it was something that just naturally happened, which was, we were lucky to shoot it before, because all those club scenes and a lot of the intimacies and the party scenes would be impossible to shoot now. So it didn't at the time, but people, when we did the screenings in Berlin, had felt it was almost nostalgic for them because all the clubs were closed. So I didn't plan that to happen, you know, just naturally where it felt like that was something foreign now, you know, that was like distant. So it was nice to capture at that moment because I don't know when it will be that way the same. And I just really wanted to capture the time and place of that, the counterculture, the kind of nightlife and the kind of activist scene that was happening in Berlin at the time. And so it was interesting to see, you know, what has happened and after then on. And then we did post-production in 2020 and all that stuff. And we had an interesting theatrical release in some cities around the world because it started and then it had got shut down again. So everything was spaced out for a lot of time and pushed back like 6-7 months. So I was just, you know, grateful though that I was able to do it. And finally it's now coming out on streaming platforms. And I know it's been difficult for everybody, you know, it's affected everyone in one way or another. So just fingers crossed that, you know, everyone's been able to be safe and it's, you know, coming out now and at least in the US or North America and the UK and then Europe next year. And so, yeah, it's been a...
Streaming services are making a killing.
Like, yeah, no, it's changed. It's changed the whole, you know, field and the whole market and the whole way films are looked at now because, you know, it's, you know... People have all had pushback releases, especially if you have a massive budget film.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because it's like you only make the revenue back if there's enough cinemas open. Mm-hmm. And so now it's like, and then there's the half streaming service, half cinema release. And a lot of people now, because understandably, because I love the cinema, but understandably, I am cautious because, it's like, I don't, how, you want to be safe and you want to be responsible. You know what I mean? And so it is this sense of like, okay, well, if I can be self safe and I'm at home, well, then it's at least I'm not like, maybe, if I did do something, how bad would I feel if something happened, going to the cinema at this time, and so it's also something where it's just, it's changed because now people, at least when they see, when it's been nice to have some release in London, Berlin, and Los Angeles, which was where we did all the theatrical release. It was nice to have the people in the experience just because they just have to sit through the whole 90 minutes. And, but now you can turn it off, or you get a phone call or a work call comes in or something, or you watch it in pieces, which is different because sometimes it's good to be challenged and to see through the whole thing, to really understand maybe the story or the narrative or what was going on. But so now there is that aspect where you can get sidetracked, you know what I mean? Which is great for TV, I mean, then it's like perfect. But for film, sometimes I think you want to see it in one sitting, which you'll do in a cinema. But now there's so many other variables. And so, but for me, it's like if people can still be inspired and still watch things and be moved by it and it can be meaningful of it, and if it has to be at home for now or a mix of home and theater, eventually they will come back. Theater on a big scale, because people do love that live experience, and it's beautiful to sit with a group of strangers and be moved by something. There's nothing that takes away that experience. But I think it is, the uncertainty can make people a little bit wary. So everyone's trying to navigate, and you try to find these windows of where you can kind of fit a release in. And it tends to be like spring and summer, where like things aren't as bad and you're trying to find a window. And so yeah, it's definitely a very interesting time. I'm sure when we look back in the future, it's gonna be weird to look back and release a film in 2020, into theaters, and then it's like, and then streaming services 2021. So it's, yeah, but I'm thankful that I got to shoot it in 2019.
Well, it's you and 1,000 other people trying to get your film out.
Yeah, of course. And there's so many people out, and there's great artists and storytellers all over the world, and so it does give access for people to be able to have a platform, if they're willing to, and they have a story they believe in enough to see it through, and to go through all of it. But now it's really difficult because there's all the safe way forward and a lot of other variables to do it. And I was lucky because I got to learn a lot through doing the film about how to deliver and how to make sure everything falls comes through, and it's also very hard if that's how you have to learn now with these extra just anxiety, because the last thing you want is the actors getting sick because of you, or because you put them in a situation where now they're putting someone in their family who might be more vulnerable getting sick. So it's just like a lot of things that you're constantly now processing on top of making a film. You constantly now have to also worry about the real world repercussions of, what could happen. And so yeah, it's a very, very interesting navigating thing, but people always, want to be inspired or to, watch films, and so, or TV, or listen to music. So I think there'll always be a way to for people to express themselves, but it's definitely we're all treading in unknown water.
Well, and for you especially, because it's not like there's only two or three people at a political protest. You've got
No,
a group.
yeah.
And you're like,
Yeah.
6 feet, 6 feet. Stay
Yeah,
away.
yeah. Yeah, exactly. That would be really hard, and it was interesting because when we shot in 2019, funny backstory was, it was illegal in Germany. We had a police commissioner help on the film from Berlin for like locations and stuff. But when we were shooting, it was illegal at the time in Germany to go to to shoot protests with, with masks. It was just a rule because I did a lot of research about the activist history of Germany or Berlin. And it was just ironic because now if you go to a protest or you go to anything now, it's illegal to not wear a mask. So it was interesting now, because when we did the research and stuff, to see the kind of guidelines and like what the laws and the rules were and what was the rules in Germany. And that was what he told me, the police commissioner. And I thought that was just so bizarre that now, and like the irony of it, now it's the opposite, and so yeah, It's an interesting time, but I do hope that's kind of, universal, because I think, it's something that can hopefully speak to people anywhere in the world,
That previous to pandemic world, it was to make it easier to identify people for future arrest.
Yeah, of course. No, of course. I mean, that goes without question. Yeah, you understand why it is, but it's just interesting to see now that it's illegal to not wear one. So
yeah
life has changed. Yeah. Life has changed so drastically. But we will get through this.
Absolutely.
Things will get better. And so we just, I hope to just inspire people and remind them that there is a lot of love out there and a lot of great people. Because sometimes I think what we forget in news, and not to go on a tangent, but in mainstream, or just sometimes all the people who are the heroes and heroines doing amazing things every day. Like all the people who are keeping things going on the front lines, or the beautiful people who have the courage and are, risking their lives or doing things, teachers and healthcare workers and activists or communicators or storytellers or journalists, all these people doing things, or just, people who take care of their kids, all these things that are happening. Sometimes I don't think we highlight enough, and to give stories a little bit of hope, to remind that there are a lot of beautiful things that people are doing that are keeping things even going. I mean, sometimes we can get drawn into the conflict and the negativity, but sometimes I think it's important to remind all the beautiful things that people are doing, and all the heroes and heroines, and to hopefully give people hope and to hold on to that, because it can seem at times quite bleak and quite tough,
Right. But you don't have to be the top story on the nightly news to be making a difference.
Exactly. I mean, and there's all those. But there's all those silent heroes and heroines, all these people doing amazing things, that are doing it because they care and they just don't need that, they're going to do it no matter what. And sometimes I just like throw in a good story or a couple good stories about all the great things people are doing. Mm-hmm. Like, keep us going through all of this,
Build each other up,
Exactly. I'm a big person about encouragement and trying to lift people up and to remember to have hope, And so, and which can be hard at times, but I think with inspiring each other and reminding each other and kind of the humanity and the empathy, I think is something that will also help people get through it, not only physically, but also emotionally and mentally, sometimes I turn on it.
Yeah. A simple thank you. Yeah. Thank the person at the gas station, Thank
yes.
the person at the grocery store. Because if they weren't there, you'd be screwed. So.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah. Everyone's going through something, and I hope and I think, that people are more empathetic and compassionate through this, because it's affected every single person in some form of way, and to be, patient with people, because everyone's going through something. And so I hope through the film and I hope through stories I make that can, be intense at times, but end up kind of try to end a little bit with a hopeful ending of, that things, will get better, or the kind of positive, at least with the film Hitbeat, I tried to at least capture that there was a lot of love and inclusivity and beautiful things happening, where there are places that you can always be accepted or, welcomed,
Well, speaking of the film, what is Angus or Angie trying to accomplish with their protest for people listening?
What's the change? Mm-hmm. And the change, I think it's also, it starts where he's just frustrated at the system, so it's misdirected, And sometimes if you're fighting things with, hate incites hate and love incites love, so it's kind of this journey of, in the beginning, he's perpetuating that same frustration and anger by repeating the same thing. But through his self-discovery, he starts to realize the best way is to kind of love and kind of, and through that experience of them pushing that out into the world, it's something that's a much more impactful and positive thing, not only for him, but also the people around him. And so I think it's also a lot about, because with the journey of, because you can get written off if you do perpetuate with violence or, in that way, then the message gets lost. It gets misconstrued. But if you always end up with a positive or a peaceful message with that, it can't get misconstrued. And naturally, people tend to really see the humanity much more, an understanding of like, well, what is something that is more malicious and what's not, And so I think it was more of his message was to, to bring awareness, but also to fight against anybody who's trying to abuse their power or the system itself, which is always a thing, if there's something that you see is wrong, to always speak up, and collective responsibility. And so he's confused and misguided, but and frustrated at the world, but through him kind of coming to terms and accepting himself, he starts to realize the best way to make changes through inciting love.
Right, absolutely. I mean, you reach more people with honey than vinegar, honestly.
Exactly. It's a good analogy.
Yeah. So I know you're in Rio now. What do you, can yeah. you talk about what you're working on?
Yeah, I actually, with my collaborators, I just, in October, we shot my next film and with my partners in West Africa, which is about a brother and a sister who reconnect with their family that they haven't seen in over a decade. Wow. And so it's really about family and healing and kind of love and embracing love and, the importance of family. And so that will be done for summer and fall next year. Okay. It was a beautiful experience to go through West Africa and to some of the most beautiful places and the source of it all. And then I did some short films in the pandemic that are on this great free, because it was a lot of on this streaming service called pause.tv. It's out of London. It's an English streaming service. It's all free. So it's free feature films and short films. It's kind of a streaming service that's more about just bringing up social awareness. And so there's a film called Invisible Borders that's on there that you can check out, but as well as the feature Hit Beat. So that's the next thing I'm going to be working on. And then I'm supposed to be shooting a film in LA in the springtime next year. If okay. things pan out the way that I hope, the window will probably be spring and summer, but we'll see what happens with the new variant and everything. But yeah, and then I'm just writing a lot in the meantime and in post-production of this film and doing some pickup shots in Brazil as well.
Right. And what was the name of the film?
Voices of My Ancestors.
Voices of My Ancestors.
Yes.
All right.
And the short film, if you want to check it out, is on pause.tv. It's called Invisible Borders.
What is it?
Pause. Invisible Borders. No, pause.tv. It's like a great free, like pause, like P-A-U-S.
Oh, okay.
And then .tv, and it's just a free streaming app you can download, and you can watch. They have amazing feature films on there with great actors too, and nice. Short films.
Okay.
And so it's a cool app to check out, and there's some really good films on there, some really 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 interesting stuff, and some great actors. And so that's kind of what I've been working on in the midst of the pandemic, and if. Everything goes smooth, I'll be in LA in the next feature, which nice. Is about dreamers. It's for the dreamers of the world. And I don't want to give too much away, but it's for the dreamers of the world and to never stop dreaming.
You can tell me later.
I will. I'll tell you and I'll follow up with you in the next one, So
absolutely.
I'll keep you posted.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Hit Beat is available now, right?
Yeah, it's available now. It's on Amazon, Google Play, YouTube Rentals, and then it will be on Amazon Prime and Amazon Deco. Later this month and into January in the UK as well. So it's in the US, the UK, and Canada.
Okay.
And then it will be Europe. Right. Yes, you can get it now. Yes, it's available now.
Watch it now, everybody. It's really good. And you're right. Angus starts off so I mean, over at the beginning is just, it's so, my voice is getting, but it's like so gravelly. Yeah. So he's just.
Yeah.
Angry, he is mad.
Yeah,
and you do see that evolution as the film goes on. It's beautiful. Excuse me.
Yeah, because I like to always say, like they said before, hate incites hate and love incites love. You know,
mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, it has been a pleasure speaking with you. I'm so
glad. It's been such a pleasure.
And please, honestly, do keep in touch.
I will, definitely. I will, and thank you for having me, and thank you for watching the film, and thank you, and I hope your viewers enjoy it. I hope they enjoy the Berlin nightlife.
Yeah, if they don't, I'm going to beat them, so it's fine.
Okay. Yeah. Well, stay safe, and thank you so much for having me.
All right. Next time you're in Florida, I'll take you to the Kennedy Space Center.
I would love that. I would love that.
All righty.
Be well, okay? Stay safe. Yep. Bye.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this creative conversation. Be sure to follow me on social media. I am Pup Duffy basically everywhere. You can follow the show on Facebook. It's Coffee, Candy, and Creatives. Head over to beunique.org. Like, follow, and support my beautiful humans over there. Be sure to check out my sponsor. And for your own sponsorship or interview opportunities, please email me at pup4ccc@gmail.com. If you like the music you're hearing, head on over to RaleighKeegan.com. and do yourself a favor and buy this album. You can download it or you can have a physical CD. You can also keep up to date on tour dates and future releases. As always, take care of each other, love each other, watch each other's back, and I'll see you next time.